Let me go ahead and get started. If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, and I'm going to read the first five verses. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I'm in 2 Peter. Didn't sound right.
It didn't look right, does it?
I had that marked too, sir. So let's try 1 Peter 1 this time. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And here's what I want to concentrate on. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here we have Peter writing an epistle to those scattered abroad, sojourners in this world. Specific places are mentioned here, but written to all of God's people, because we are all strangers in this world. But we also know he is talking to all of God's people, because in verse 2 he speaks of the elect. This is not necessarily my subject this morning, but it says we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Then it says through. And here's where we begin to get into being kept by God. Paul says this. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Someone who is kept by God does not consult with men. He goes to the one who keeps him. We are the children of wrath, even as others, yet when that time comes, God has us right where he wants us, because he keeps us. We know the scripture. It says that Christ died for us while we were yet enemies. Christ died after some of those had went on. But we also know that he is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. When we are born into this world, God puts a hedge around us so that nothing can harm us, and in such a way that we do not reach that point that, you know, he does it in such a way that we reach the point where he intends for us to be. The scripture teaches us that, it teaches us this, but even when I look at my life, there's no other way for me to see it. Just all the stupid things I've done that could have killed me. He preserved me to a certain point, which we will look at. And that's not even talking about all the evil things I've done. Just the stupid things. He has hedged me about, and he turneth me whithersoever he is pleased to bring me to get me to this point that it's talking about in this passage here. That point being obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. I know some like sprinkling. Well, there's some sprinkling that you need. Sprinkled with the gospel of his dear Son. We see in this chapter what all men need, but all men do not have it. grace and peace be multiplied. I cannot have too much grace and peace from God. What He gives is just enough, always. There can be no grace or peace to one who hates the God of Scripture until their dying breath. But if grace and peace come to you, even at your dying breath, it is enough to carry you home. I just wouldn't count on waiting until then. We have read the Scripture where it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Because waiting in that sense, then He may not be found. But we also must say that if you are to see grace and peace, it will come from God that has kept you. He will keep you unto salvation, and that to His own good pleasure, be it young or old. A sinner is not less than a sinner just because he may not have sinned as much as another. A sinner is one because that is what he is, and sin pours forth from that fountain. But also because this sin that he has committed has offended the holy God. Let's be honest. I have sinned and offended God even when I was born by my sin, because I am born speaking lies. But let's look at it this a little further and talk about being kept by God. How are we kept? When are we kept? To what are we kept? First, as we read in our text, we are kept by the power of God. Here is one of those words that Walker talked about last week. This power and the right that God possesses to do with me as He wills. I have no input to this. There are certainly effects of Him keeping me, and in the sense that it is said here, His keeping me is a miracle. It is done by miraculous power. How much power does He have? Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me, in heaven and in earth." So if He has all the power, how much is left over for me or anyone else? You know the saying, it's all or nothing. Well, we have the nothing, and He has the all. This power is not just for those who are His. No, this power is shown to men in grace and peace. But He even has power over all flesh, even the wicked. Romans 9:17 we read, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." God using Pharaoh would show and did show His power to the world by drowning Pharaoh and his great army in the water. Man has no power at all. If man has any power, it's because God has given it to him. What did Christ tell Pilate? Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." So the power that keeps us is a divine power, and it is a miraculous power. This power brings those who are His faith, because it says we are kept by the power of God through faith. Faith to do something that we would not otherwise do. Faith to be obedient unto the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. We know we are kept by His power, but when are we kept? We are kept from eternity. There is never a time when we have not been kept. We were chosen in Christ before the world began. So we were kept before we even arrived here. You know, we read that scripture in Romans that says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, this is true even before you are called. But here's the thing about this verse. Once He comes to you revealing Himself to you in the gospel and through faith, you being obedient to it, it is then and only then that we can say, and we know. But it is true from all eternity that God has preserved and does preserve His saints. All things truly do work together for good, their good. Bad things and good things. But then we also see that we are kept in time. Time is a part of eternity, so it's not separate. But we are kept in time. God, as I said, hedges us about that so that no one or no thing can harm us, not even ourselves. He may not keep us as we would have it, and thank God for that. But He will keep us. That is, He will preserve us until that time of love. If Jesus Christ died for us when we were enemies, then why would He not keep us safe? And that is safe from falling away from Him. There is a time before we are revealed Jesus Christ that we are kept by God. Before we knew Christ, we were kept by God who used the schoolmaster, the law. This keeping was to put us under the law so that we will keep our mouths shut. Unto Christ, that is, until faith came, and then we began to believe God. That faith coming we see in our text. This is how it says it, though. We are begotten by God, and the source or the cause of that begetting is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our keeping starts there. Our keeping is because of that. He then touches one of His. His Spirit, it says right here in 1 Peter, sets us apart. But we are not set apart for no reason. There is a reason that we are set apart by His Spirit. It is unto the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are meant by God to come to know Him and to believe Him. It is for that very purpose that we are kept by His power. When He does this, then we can sing with grace in our hearts the following: Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Think about it. That was Psalms 32:7. Our songs are songs of deliverance from ourself with the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Here in our text, we are said to be kept unto something. So next, we have to what are we kept? Salvation. If you're not in need of saving, then this is not talking to you. But those who are in need of salvation begin to see this salvation. This salvation is a person, that person who keeps them. But this even talks about a salvation that is yet to be revealed. It's not a different salvation. It is the same salvation, a man, that man Jesus Christ. What is it that will be revealed to me? I certainly will be revealed that I have eternal life. But I will be revealed and will know, even as I am known, that my life is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." I will know even as I am known. I will one day come face to face with my Redeemer, my friend, my Savior, and my Keeper. I will know Him even as He knows me. That is the salvation that is ready to be revealed. I know some of that now. I mean, I know some of that now, and I thank God. Because if we did not know some of it now, I'm afraid it would lead us to total despair. But it is God who keeps us. And he keeps us, as it says here, and he does this by setting us apart by his Spirit. This being done for the express purpose that we obey his gospel. That gospel that speaks to us about a Redeemer who shed his blood for my very soul. But it also speaks of a Savior who is my life, because he was resurrected from the dead. By his being resurrected, life is certain for his people. There's no doubt that God's people will come to know him. We are told that it is sure. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." My safekeeping in eternity, my safekeeping is in eternity. My safekeeping is in time. My safekeeping in eternity is my safekeeping in time. My safekeeping in time will be my safekeeping in eternity. God is my keeper, and that God is seen in the face of the one who gave up his life for mine. He gave up his life because no man could take it from him, no matter how many nails they put in him. But he gave it up, and he proclaimed with a loud voice for all the world to hear, although not all will hear it, but they will. It is finished. Then he laid in the grave 3 days and three nights, and in resurrection power he came forth from that grave. What did Christ tell us in John 10:17-18? "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." In him doing so, all those in him were given life. Yes, we are born dead, but when he arose, we arose with him. Some things you cannot explain. We just have to believe it. But because he liveth, I live. He proves it to me in time. He comes to me in life-giving power and sets me apart. He has the right to do so. Him doing this to me so that I might come and obey him, an enemy of God enabled by the Holy God to kiss the Son. Some kiss the Son cheek to cheek, as Walker has pointed out before, but those who have been given life kiss the Son's feet. I know I talk about bowing down to him a lot, but folks, I look forward to that day when I can literally bow down at his feet, knowing it is all because of his grace and peace, which he has given me in abundance, but it is just enough in its abundance. What are we told in Isaiah? Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Some people know a God of vengeance, though they think of him as their buddy. Others know a God who is a protector, a keeper, a God who will take vengeance for them in his time. What can we say about this? Let's read it. God tells us what to say and what to think. Turn with me to Romans 8. Turn with me to Romans 8. This is very familiar, but this is good. This is the God that keeps us. Romans 8, and I'm going to read verses 31 through 39. And here is talking about all things working together, as I mentioned before. And that's because God keeps it all. Scripture says all things consist by Christ. So all things work together for good because he is the keeper of all things. So then we have in verse 31 of Romans 8, what shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Here is the reason, and this is something we can count on, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There may be some who do attempt to lay charges to God's people, but we have an intercessor. And it's not that we are not blamable in and of ourselves, but in Christ we are not. We are righteous in him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Not a one will be able to condemn us. But let's go on. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, none of these things will separate us from his love. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God does truly keep me. It is such a comforting thought that God, the sovereign God of heaven and of earth, watches over me and keeps me. I have nothing to fear, though I do. I am enough in my unbelief to condemn myself. But he has been pleased to keep me unto obedience of the gospel of Christ. I pray he leads me, else I will go astray. I want to follow his path of righteousness, that path where we are revealed true salvation, salvation which God wrought, and he did this in his only Son, that salvation that will reveal my life and the only source of my life, Jesus Christ the Lord, my keeper and my friend. Is he yours? Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Be with those, dear Lord, who have ailments. Dear Lord, maybe just struggling in their mind, dear Lord. Comfort them with the thought that you keep, you lead us, dear Lord, and it must be you, or else we will go astray, dear Lord. Forgive us of our sins. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.